I know we have our own stigmas with eating raccoon, but these fucking birds seem to love it, so it's probably pretty tasty. I said it. I used the R word. My apologies. Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to the next episode of Joe Kelly's Psychedelic Experience. What's going on with you, my friend? It's your old pal Joe here. Just checking in with you on a motherfucking Wednesday, all right? Live on the road to Indianapolis. That's where we're coming from you today. Or coming to you, I should say. Listen, hope you're doing well. I hope you're doing better than you ever thought you possibly could be doing. And if you are not, that's A-okay. But do yourself a favor and get your fucking shit together, will you? Get your shit together. We're already halfway through March. What else you gonna do? Stocks are up. Stocks are down. Houses are up. Houses are down. Get your fucking shit together, all right? I got some shows coming up, ladies and gentlemen. But I'm driving, so I ain't gonna fucking look at my phone, all right? JoeKellyComedy.com will have all your shows and information as to where I'll be. As far as tonight goes, I'll be headlining Helium in Indianapolis, all right? So if you're listening to this Wednesday morning, March 13th, come on out to Helium, and you'll see your old pal Joe headlining his first big club ever, all right? Very excited about it, looking forward to it, and other than that, that's what I'm doing. How have you been, my friend? This is a different form of podcast. I hope everything's going to sound and look all right here. Maybe I'll start doing this more, showing you what it's like to drive to Indianapolis, because that's really the only place I've been going lately, all right? But what have you been up to? What have you been doing with yourself? I'm driving. That's what I'm doing. I miss driving. I haven't taken a long drive in a while. 4.5 hours is a decent enough drive. A lot of people don't like long drives. They consider anything more than 30 minutes a little bit too long of a drive, but I love it. It always gives me time to just settle my mind, you know? Ease all the, I don't know. It's just fucking peaceful to drive. Sometimes you turn off the radio. Sometimes you listen to instrumental shit. It's good to just take a break from everything and get to driving. I also find driving is when I start thinking of my jokes. That's when I feel most creative, I guess, is when I'm driving, listening to instrumental music. Just very at peace. So hopefully we got some new jokes worked out. But I do, I haven't been driving that much, so I do miss it, and I need to do it more often, just for the sake of writing some fucking jokes and getting some new thoughts in my life. And for those of you who don't know, I guess most of y'all are pretty familiar with me at this point, but I lived out of my van for 4 years, so I was driving a lot back then, and that was those are some of the most fun times I ever had. Not that I was getting into a lot of ruckus or anything like that. I was basically homeless in my van. But you say you're a comedian and people are like, oh, he's doing something with his life. But just driving everywhere all the time, people are always like, man, you must have seen a lot driving everywhere. And I've seen my fair share. I've probably seen more than most who don't get out and do some exploring. But I know I've missed a lot more than I've seen, if that makes sense. Because, I don't know, my van, I feel like my van saw a lot more than I did, if that makes any sense. Not that it has eyes or anything, but it was able to take in more of the surroundings than I necessarily was. Because even though I'm looking out this windshield all the time while I'm driving, I'm just missing shit, you know? You're just driving. You're focused on something else. Sometimes you're not even focused on driving. You know, you shouldn't be doing distracted driving. Don't text because that's distracted driving. But your own thoughts can be distracting when you're driving, you know? People don't say, there's no sign to tell you not to think while you're driving. But so you just miss a lot, even though your body is going through this, you know? Like, I've been all up and down the West Coast. My body has, but I've missed so much mentally just because I was thinking about something else or whatever. And I don't know. I think about that, how much I've missed looking out this windshield, that this windshield has been able to see. But even thinking about that just through everyday life, not even driving, just existing as a human being on planet Earth, as how much your eyes actually see and how much you don't even, you miss, you know. The brain just pushes it aside. I guess in this sense, my eyes are the windshield that I'm currently looking out of and missing all these towns and just driving by all these other people and not really taking notice of them. But even when the windshield is removed, just going through life, you know, you miss so much. You miss everything because you're thinking about, you know, you're thinking about the fucking cheddar biscuits and Red Lobster you're going to have on Friday. And it's only Tuesday. So you spend all week just thinking about them cheddar biscuits, just missing everything else that comes your way. It's interesting. That's something I've thought about a lot while I've been up and down these roads and all over telling jokes, doing comedy, driving, is how much I've actually missed while driving. And then how much I've actually missed in life, because I've got other things going on, especially with that goddamn phone nowadays. I've read something or I heard something that people, like, on average, are like checking their phone 130, 140 times a day. Can you imagine, before phones, going out to your mailbox 140 fucking times a day? Going, oh, maybe something showed up. Maybe something showed up. And nothing shows up ever, except for one time of the day when you get your fucking mail. But it's so, I mean, that's just addict behavior. You know what I mean? We don't think about it like that. We don't think about the phone like a drug. But imagine you were fucking shooting heroin 140 times a day, or doing a bump of coke 140 times a day, or doing a shot 140 times a day. You know what I mean? But for some reason, we don't think about the phone in that same sense. And ever since I heard that little stat or whatever, I've tried to be, what the fuck's a bird doing in the middle, eating a fucking raccoon? Ballsy bird, dude, ballsy bird. Middle of the road, eating a raccoon. It must be delicious to risk your life by standing in the middle of the road. I know we have our own stigmas with eating raccoon, but these fucking birds seem to love it, so it's probably pretty tasty. But anyway, just the phone. Yeah, I've been thinking more about how I haven't actually counted. Part of me started to count how many times I checked my phone, but by the time noon hit, I had already forgot. But it's a fun little experiment, people. If you feel like it, keep track of how many times you check your phone. And if you catch yourself going, I don't want to check my phone right now, also count how many times you grab it and catch yourself. Count how many times you touch your fucking phone in a day. And then count how many times you unlock it and then realize the pattern of what you're checking. Whether it's email, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, whatever it is, you might learn something about yourself. Because I'm starting to think that everybody is just an addict of some kind. Some people are addicted to working out, which I guess is probably, depending on, you know, if you're lifting 900 pounds at some point, that's not going to be good for your knees. But physical activity every day couldn't be a bad thing. And maybe that's feeling an addiction. That's feeling an addictive behavior that could be detrimental to the person, if that makes sense. So working out is a much better alternative than fucking, you know, slamming cherry Pepsis all fucking day or whatever other addictions we could come up with. You even see the phone thing when people are working out. People can't take a break from it. It's absolutely insane. And how, if it were anything else, it would be viewed as a problem. But for some reason with the phone, we just don't look at it as an addiction. Maybe because there's so many different things on it that you can be addicted to TikTok, and you can be addicted to Instagram, you can be addicted to Twitter. But the phone is the overall addiction to begin with. But it's absolutely fascinating. Very interesting to check your phone 140 times a fucking day and go, I don't have a problem. You know? And what are you checking it for? Is there going to be good news? Or are you just getting likes on a status? Or, you know, did somebody's DM you on Instagram and go, hey, great tits, lady. And that makes you feel good. We're just chasing something that feels good. And I suppose that phone gives us many avenues to have a false sense of feeling good, to get that fake dopamine rush. But anyway, I forget what the fuck I was even talking about now. Oh, just for not really being present, I guess. And I don't think it's... I don't know if it's completely possible to be 100% present when you're moving through life. Maybe you have to sit still, and that's how you be present, you know? Because who wants to be present in a city? Who wants to actually sit in a city center and take in everything that's going on around you? All the fucking, Jesus Christ, all the noise and the racket and the junkies on drugs and the junkies in the shops and the liars and thieves and crooks that are actually around these cities. Good Lord. You fucking lose your mind if you try to sit in a center city and experience the whole fucking thing. So that's why you get on the phone. That's an easy distraction. That's a fucking, I don't know. That's like a shot of adrenaline when you're having a heart attack. It brings you back from dying. You should try and meditate in a city center and see if you don't lose your fucking mind and start thinking dark thoughts about not existing on this planet anymore. Challenge you to do that. But anyway, what's been going on in the news, people? I'm not too sure how long this podcast will be. I do have another 3 hours to drive, but that seems like a very long podcast to be doing by oneself, you know? But, the fucking State of the Union was last week, right? Did you all watch it? Do you feel better about the State of the Union? It doesn't need to be as long as it is. Really? Every State of the Union should be about 4 minutes long. You come on, everybody claps for a while. By the time they're done clapping, you're already halfway done. And you go, here's the State of the Union. Already? All right. It's not good. And we hope to make it better. And you go, okay, that's great. Instead of just fucking yammering and clapping. It's the weirdest fucking thing to see people just clap constantly about nothing. Everyone's fucking stupid. You ever feel that way, people? Do you ever feel like the world's where it is? Not because politicians, and not because of these fucking garbage fucking criminal CEOs that run the world. Maybe it's this world's in the shape it's in because everyone's so goddamn fucking stupid all the goddamn time. And we like clapping at nothing and patting ourselves on the back and jerking each other off for a dollar bill here and there. Do you ever think that's why? Do you ever think it's maybe we should take responsibility for being a planet full of fucking idiots? Fucking thoughtless, stupid, mindless idiots who pretend to be better than nature. Meanwhile, we're as much part of it as anything else. And we're not much different than, you know, than the creatures we like to think we're so much better than. But to clap and pretend that Joe Biden is somehow an alpha doing good work, that blows my absolute fucking mind, people. That guy's a retarded old man. I said it. I used the R word. My apologies, but we all know what he is. He's a retarded old man. And anybody who claps for him is also retarded. And listen, if you vote for him, if you're a Democrat, if you fucking go that way, that's fine. Everybody on the other side is also a little bit retarded. So you're fine. You're two sides of the same retarded coin. But to clap and act like he's fucking doing something. Here's the thing. That was last Thursday, correct? The State of the Union. The meaningless State of the fucking Union. I was down in Detroit. I was meeting with some comics about starting a show. And then I did the open mic. And it's at a little independent comedy club called The Independent. The Independent is in a back room of a bigger venue. And they have a little theater, a decent-sized theater off to the side. And some group had rented the theater out to have a fucking live viewing party of the State of the Union. Now imagine, picture a group of people renting out a theater in the gay side of Detroit to watch the State of the Union. All right? What'd you picture in your head? Because I guarantee goddamn that was them. You know? Whatever you thought of, that was absolutely fucking them. And just the fucking nerdiest fucking whites you've ever seen in your life. And unwelcoming, too. There was another comic who walked over and he was like, maybe I can go participate in their viewing party. And they were like, this is reserved for us only. Come on now. You should be welcoming people into your little fucking rally. All you did was, I mean, listen, maybe they could tell he really didn't give a shit about what they were doing, but he just wanted to get an up close look at it. But the fact that you're like, hey, fuck off, you can't come in, that tells me that's a, you know, you're a representative of your political party that you're supporting. That to me tells or shows that the left, the Democratic brainless fucking drones that worship Joe Biden, are mean and unaccepting of people. That's what it says to me. They're like, you can't come to our party because you're not one of us. And it was, you know, just a bunch of fucking nitwits and idiots anyway. But if you're also, again, if you're trying to be a representative, you know what I mean? Because Trump is fucking, whatever you think, the dude is fucking packing out stadiums and auditoriums, and he's got the general population fucking riled up, man. So people are leaning that way. People who voted for Biden in 2020 are now voting for Trump in 2024. And I could see why, because they're very unwelcoming. And also to know that, to know that that's happening right now, or maybe you're so delusional you think, you really think you're doing good work out there. But to fucking, you know what I mean? Like, I'm sorry, I gotta pass a truck and I'm losing my train of thought here. But to fucking, to know you might be struggling for votes come November, and to just push people away and go, you're not welcome to our fucking party, you know, because you're not a frail gay guy or some weird looking white lady. You're not welcome. And that's very weird to me. It was also weird the fact that you're a fucking grown adult having a viewing party, and not even a sold out viewing party. Let me add to that, people. Not even sold out. Fucking Trump is packing out goddamn Madison Square Garden, and you can't fill an 80-seat theater for a viewing party for your boy. And then you're just mean to anybody who wants to check it out. I feel like, dude, those fucking Trump people, the people who like Trump and are at his rallies and are having his viewing parties, if you're like, hey, what's going on? They're like, come check this out, brother. We're having a fucking party. We're not like, you can't come because you don't look like us. Isn't that weird? Isn't that weird how the Democrats are anti-judgment and anti-racist, but at the same time, they are the most judgmental and racist people you've ever met in your life? And they always have been. But they fucking somehow They somehow hid behind something to make it seem like they were the good ones. And I'm not going to say either party is inherently good or bad, but just from the rhetoric that the Democrats spew, they seem awfully hateful and segregist. To not welcome people to your little fucking, oh, we can't come look at the projector screen and watch your fucking, your brain dead fucking goddamn senior citizen living in a home motherfucker ramble about nothing. I watched some of it. Not that night. I did watch about half of it the next day. But the half that I watched, I felt like nothing was directed at me or toward me. So I just turned it off at that point. And I don't know exactly what I'm looking for to be directed toward me or just toward the American people. You know what I mean? The people who do vote for Trump. These motherfuckers who, you know, blue collar people, fucking plumbers, steel workers, auto industry people who got no fucking jobs and nowhere to go. But it seems like that's the move right now, kids. If you're out there struggling to make ends meet and you hate having a bullshit job, men and women across the board, fucking look into fixing some pipes or wiring electricity, man. It seems like those trades are going to be where it's at. Because everything else is going to be taken over by computers and AI at some point. Customer service will all be AI. You already see the fucking robot servers at restaurants and shit. Everybody's already going through the self-checkouts. Other people have, you know, robot shoppers. I think at Walmart I've seen skirting around. I'm not sure if that's 100% accurate, but you got other people shopping for you. But, you know, they haven't figured out how to make robots fucking come into your house and fix the toilet or wire some electricity to your fucking shed. So if you're looking for something in the future, my recommendation is a trade of some kind. I might be looking into it myself at this point. So what the fuck else am I going to do? But anyway, what else was it? The other thing in the Oscars. The Oscars were this past weekend, ladies and gentlemen. Who won anything? I don't know. The only thing that I saw about the Oscars was that John Cena was naked. Did you see John Cena with his big muscular body being naked? And it was a goof because he was presenting the best costume or best wardrobe or something like that. LOL, what better way to present the best costume than not wear clothes at all? Hilarious joke from the Oscars. Or was it the Emmys? I think it was the Oscars. I really don't know. But that was the big hubbub. The big hubbub was the fact that John Cena was naked. And I see the joke from the side of the Oscars, all right? He's presenting best picture or best wardrobe, excuse me. Let's have him not wear a wardrobe at all. Hilarious joke. Very, very funny. For those of people who are very stupid, which is everybody, you know, who participates in the Oscars. No offense to you if you watched them. I'm sure there was just nothing else on. But there's another side saying that John Cena being naked was a humiliation ritual. And he's now selling his soul to Satan. What, to that, I say he worked for Vince McMahon for over a decade. So, and with all the stuff that's coming out about him, if John Cena was going to sell his soul to Satan, he already did it in the mid-2000s when he started working for Vince McMahon. But that's it's a humiliation ritual. He's going to worship Satan. And I don't know, because John Cena was a wrestler. So he used to walk around in his underwear for the first couple years. And then he switched to jean shorts, but he still didn't wear no shirt. But also, I wonder, here's the thing. What is humiliating about a big, strong man showing off his big, strong body? You know what I mean? It's like, oh, we humiliated him with his great physique by allowing him to show it off to possibly millions of people on cable television. How is that humiliating at all? To be one of the biggest, strongest men there's ever been and to, you know, to show off your big, strong pecs and your abs and your big biceps Your biceps so big that you can't even wear armbands, that you have to wear headbands on them. How is that humiliating? Plus, he was already kind of doing it. Meanwhile, who was the fucking, the fat gay guy, Sam Smith, who was worshiping Satan, openly worshiping Satan, and fucking being a big fat blob on TV? You know, he looked like a fucking a beluga whale with a thyroid problem, and everybody was talking about how brave he is and how empowered he is by showing off his big fat gross slob body while worshiping the devil. Meanwhile, John Cena doesn't take a day off in the gym, has an opportunity at the Oscars. They go, hey, we got an idea. We want you to present an award this year. He goes, oh, that's great. I'd love to present an award. We want you to do best costume, best wardrobe. And you go, oh, that's fun. You know, I like that. I wear a little wardrobe myself from time to time with my jean shorts and my headbands wrapped around my biceps. And they go, you know what would be fun? If since you're presenting the best costume, which is clothing, what if we had you present with no clothes at all? And John Cena is like, well, I'm not ashamed or embarrassed of my body in any way, shape, or form, because I do everything I can to take care of it and make sure it's in the best possible shape it can be. That sounds like a good idea. And then he does it, and then people are like, oh, they're trying to humiliate him. They're trying to humiliate the big, strong man by allowing to show off his big, strong body and make everyone's wives and girlfriends real horny. I think I lost the GoPro, so we'll just continue with the audio portion of this podcast, ladies and gentlemen. I knew that was going to happen. This battery's sucking these GoPros. But anyway, the whole idea of John Cena being humiliated by showing off his big, strong, handsome, sexy body just makes no fucking sense to me. And again, the humiliation ritual seems like it would have been fucking Sam Smith or whatever. I keep wanting to say Sam Talent, but Sam Talent is a very funny comedian. Who knows, he has a big, fat, gross body. But Sam Smith, you know, looked like fucking Baby Huey with diabetes, rolling around in his fat, sloppy body. And somehow that's not the humiliating one, the fact that John Cena's out there looking like a fucking, like an Adonis. Somehow that's embarrassing. And somehow that means he's selling his soul to Satan. And maybe he did. Maybe he did. But I think if he did sell his soul to Satan, he did it years ago. But that's just me. That's just me. What do you think about the Oscars? Who won Best Picture? Who gives a fuck? Do better things with your time than watch the Oscars. I didn't watch them. I forgot they were on. I just got on Twitter and they were like, hey, John Cena's naked. I was like, God damn, I'd like to be there right now. I'd like to be there right now. Maybe that's why I don't think it's humiliating, is because I'm secretly gay for John Cena. I just don't think there's anything wrong with a big, strong man showing off his big, strong body. I don't think there's anything wrong with a lady with big, fat tits showing off her big, fat tits either. I love it. I love big, fat tits. And I love it when they're showing off even more. Not humiliating in any way. Unless someone's, you know, fucking chucking baloney on him like he did in, like, Howard Stern back in the day. That might be a little bit embarrassing, but I think you know what you're getting into. What do you think? Should John Cena be embarrassed of his big, strong, muscular body? Or should everyone maybe just shut the fuck up once in a while? I would like to think. And you guys know, I'm all about the award show conspiracies and humiliation rituals and guys wearing dresses and stuff like that and them being embarrassed. But it's like, I don't know. There's something different about Madea wearing a dress. What's that dude's name? I can't fucking remember. Because he's, you know, he's a big guy, but he ain't got no John Cena body. There's something different between that and John Cena showing off his big, strong, sexy body, you know? I don't know how it's humiliating. I don't know how it's humiliating when they fucking parade Lizzo around in string bikinis looking like a wrapped up tenderloin. But John Cena looking like a wrapped up tenderloin, but just on his own because he's shredded, is somehow humiliating. Very strange world we live in, people. Very strange world. I think that's all I got. I think we're going to wind down this podcast on the road to Indianapolis. We'll do another podcast on the way back from Indianapolis, and I'll let you know how the show went, all right? Hey, thanks for checking out the podcast this week, everybody. Hope we had a little bit of fun. JoeKellyComedy.com will have all the upcoming dates and shows that I have lined up. Also, if you are in the Indianapolis area, come through tonight, March 13th, and see me headline at Helium. My first big club, everybody. My first real big club that I'm headlining, and I did it on my own. I got no agent. I got no manager. I figured I got this one set up on my own. So, very excited. Looking forward to it. And just have a great fucking week, all right? As always, take care of yourself. Take care of somebody else. And I'll catch you around real fucking soon. Later, my friend. YouTube, what's going on? Listen, my apologies, okay? The camera cut off, but you're still getting a bonus portion of the podcast, all right? That's my bad. The thing with these GoPros... The GoPros are great, I guess, but the battery fucking sucks on them. I probably didn't have it charged up all the way. That's probably my bad. I thought I did. But either way, it's just crazy that those things last fucking... It's like a half a battery. Didn't even last 30 minutes, or maybe 30 minutes. But I just wanted to still give you the borscht. We don't want to talk like that on the podcast. I just wanted to give you the bonus portion of the podcast still. And if you're familiar with Indiana or geography, I'm about to be in Angola, Indiana. What is it famous for? I don't know. But I think I'll do more of these on the road stuff. Okay? Just wanted to give you a little bonus portion. I know the release dates have been weird on these, but I still love you. And I'm getting it all figured out, all right? Home life in Michigan has been very, very weird. And, semi-stressful overall. So I'm trying to get still get settled with everything as far as consistently doing the podcast. But I love you. Have a great fucking week, and I'll talk to you very soon. All right, later.